Thank you for joining us for In Focus. I'm Anthony Morneau. Today, we continue our conversation about trade, NAFTA, and economic development along the border. Joining us is the president of the Border Industrial Association, Jerry Pacheco. Mr. Pacheco also is the executive director of the International Business Accelerator, and he writes the column Business Across the Border for the Albuquerque Journal. Jerry, thanks again for sticking around and continuing the conversation with us on In Focus. Now, I want to continue where we left off on the last episode. We were talking about Amazon and how cities across the country were pitching to Amazon to relocate their second headquarters there. You folks there that are working in Santa Teresa did something different. You proposed a binational community. Now, this is something that a lot of folks may think that you came up with recently, but from what I understand is this has been in the works for some time?
We came up with the concept of what we called a binational campus, which is really industrial base. It would be having a production plant on one side of the border, a stone's throw away from a distribution center or headquarters on the other side. That concept generally evolved into a whole community. And once we started thinking big, we thought we can actually create a binational city that could be the model, not only on the U.S.-Mexico border, but internationally, as to how cross-border cooperation can happen. The whole Amazon deal was a great way to demonstrate that, to come together with our Mexican partners, do a common pitch, put a twist on it, and go out and get all sorts of press, which is exactly what happened.
Now, the architect, Fernando Romero, worked on the design and the concept with this, and it's just a fascinating design for anybody that wants to check it out. They can visit the website, is that correct?
Yeah, it's hq2countries.com. And we have actually a 3D model that's a live video that shows how this would work. We have the binational city designed on both sides of the border, all sorts of information on the region. And we're hoping everybody visits there. The whole point of this was not just to pitch Amazon. It was to generate a buzz internationally. And literally, a couple of days after we did the website and the bids closed, and I think there were 238 responses to Amazon, we started getting press in the Seattle Times. And it's funny because we were thinking to ourselves, let's hire some students in Seattle with breadboards and say, okay, you know, this is where we are. Too corny, okay? Let's buy a billboard in Seattle, too expensive. And boom, out of the gate, the first press we get's in the Seattle Times, followed by CNN, we were on MSN, we were on USA Today, we were internationally across the border. It's just been incredible that we got all this press. And that was really a large part of our intent in doing this.
Very exciting news. As we mentioned in the last program, Doñana County and Santa Teresa took over as the top exporting region in New Mexico. More exciting news. I want to move on though and talk more about the border and economic development and trade. As we all know, President Trump has tweeted calling NAFTA, quote, the worst trade deal in history. The North American Free Trade Agreement is about to go under renegotiations right now. Now, you wrote in your column about Mexican ambassador Jeronimo Gutierrez, who visited late last year the borderland here. I'd like to hear from your perspective what you really, what did the ambassador from Mexico really have to say about these ongoing negotiations?
Well, it was really interesting, Anthony, because we spent the better part of a day. We took him to Santa Teresa and took him into San Jeronimo. We actually had breakfast at the Foxconn plant and gave him a presentation of what we're doing in the region, and he was very excited. And by the way, we showed him the Amazon deal, and he was ecstatic about that. He thought, my God, this is a great example of binational cooperation. We talked a lot about the NAFTA negotiations, and he talked about what was going well and what was becoming sticking points. And the two things that he really emphasized that were sticking points were the U.S. stance in trying to mandate and increase U.S. content, North American content in in auto parts being made in North America. Right now, most auto parts have a 62.5% local content. In other words, to be able to move free across the border without any tariffs, you have to have North American content of 62.5%. The Trump administration wants to raise that to 85%, which almost every single major car company says that's going to be impossible. There's not a company in the world that can do that. So that's a sticking point. The second one that is just as serious and maybe even more serious is the proposal by the Trump administration to sunset NAFTA every 5 years.
Let's go back to the table and renegotiate
Correct.
It. So what does that do? What does the ambassador say? Are his thoughts if that's the proposal?
He says that's a deal breaker, and I believe him, and I tend to take his standpoint because if you're doing that to your, here we are trying to attract foreign direct investment. We're trying to get companies to invest and expand. They need security in knowing that if they're doing that based on a free trade agreement, that in 5 years they're not subject to renegotiations and the agreement could go away and things could turn south on them. So we need to provide a level of comfort to our companies that we're trying to attract here and create jobs. And that sunset provision every 5 years is a killer.
From your perspective, how does the trade deficit that the United States has with China play a role in these negotiations?
Well, it's interesting, Anthony, because the focus is not on the Chinese deficit. Our trade deficit with China is $347 billion. Mexico is fourth on that list behind Japan, which is $96 billion. You've got Germany, which is $65 billion. And then you've got Mexico, $63 billion trade deficit. So in this case, Mexico has been made out to be the villain and the boogeyman. When if you look at Mexico compared to China, it's only 18% of the trade deficit that China has. So if the U.S. really wants to take care of a trade deficit on the trip to China that Trump took last year, that should have been brought up. Yet the trade deficit is kind of the 800-pound gorilla also in the NAFTA negotiations, even though it's it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Now, we have about 3 minutes left, but I'd like to talk about a big thing that was obviously very different when NAFTA was first agreed upon, the internet.
Yeah.
How big of a role does it play in these
negotiations? Huge. Those social media is huge. The energy sector is huge because there's changes in Mexico that hadn't been effected when NAFTA was implemented. All of this is being discussed. All of this is important, and it's part of what Ambassador Gutierrez called the modernization aspects of the NAFTA talks, which are very important to all three sides.
Now, energy. Mexico obviously made some big moves. I think we just probably have a minute and a half left on energy. How does that play a role in this agreement, according to the ambassador?
Well, huge. Mexico is trying its best to modernize its energy industry, and it's liberalized that. However, there's certain protocols that need to be in place under the agreement to allow for companies to invest, for there to be a system whereby if there's issues between, let's say, U.S. companies and Mexican companies, that under the agreement they can be resolved and addressed.
Now, one of the things also that seems to be involved with that is, though, you have environmental concerns, you have labor concerns. Real quick, just off, how do they play a role in these renegotiations?
Yes, and those are a major point. Labor relations and indigenous issues are part of the NAFTA renegotiations, and those are one of the four major negotiation areas that the three countries are focusing on.
All right. Now, another thing that I think these are major issues, and they take a lot of time to really handle. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on a renegotiation process? How long do you think this could actually take?
You know, we're getting to probably the end of the face-to-face negotiations. The sixth round of the NAFTA renegotiations takes place January 23rd in Montreal. I don't know if they're going to go much longer, and I don't see too much having come out of the negotiations where an announcement's made that we're going this direction. That worries me a little bit, because if the U.S. feels it's backed itself into a corner by forcing these negotiations and nothing's happened, do we as a nation say, well, to save face, we have to rescind the agreement or get out of it? And that triggers a whole unknown at the congressional and presidential levels.
Jerry, fascinating work here on your column, and some obviously a very big thing to all of us who are living in not only the United States, the borderland here in North America. Thank you so much for being with us on In Focus.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to thank you for joining us for another episode of In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno.